Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we can come into your house today and worship you and give you the glory that you deserve and only you deserve. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, coming up with a plan to redeem humanity. You knew what was going to happen before the world was ever created. You knew what needed to be done, and you took care of it all. And that plan is still unfolding as men and women, boys and girls, accept you as their Savior. They understand that they need you to be one with God. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that many are doing that. I continue to pray for those families in Texas, Lord. And I lift them up to you, Lord. Give them peace. Help them to understand. Help them to praise you even in their sorrow. Lift them up, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Lift us up. Lift up our spirits to you as we study your word, as we try to understand the gravity and the largeness of what you did for us and continue to do, even in sending your Holy Spirit to guide us. Live within us. Empower us to walk with you. Lord, help us. We pray this day as we humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning and welcome. In our service today, we're going to talk about love. The focus is love. Does that make you happy, Randy? Randy is a purveyor of love. God's love, not just any love, God's love. Because there are many types of love out there in the world, aren't there? Well, there's that mushy-gushy romantic love, right? There's that kind of love. There's familial love, love of family. You love your mom, dad, your brothers, your sisters, even when they irk you and kind of make you mad. You still love them, right? And that should be that way. There is friendship love. Somebody you may have grown up with or gone to school with, you've known them all your life, and you have a special relationship with them because you're friends, you're very tight friends, right? There's that kind of love. And then there is self-love. Yes, self-love. Now, self-love, most people think of that as a bad thing, right? But it doesn't have to be. You can be lifting yourself up, encouraging yourself up with Scripture, with your relationship to Jesus, walking in the Spirit. That's a good kind of love. It's an encouraging kind of love for self. So you can do that and feel good about it, right? All of that, those are all different kinds of love. Romantic love, where there's intense attraction, deep affection, and longing for physical closeness. That kind of love. And then there's that friendship love that we mentioned, the deep affection and connection between friends, characterized by trust, loyalty. Yes, those are all part of that. And then we have that love of family between our parents and our brothers and sisters, our siblings, and we normally would be willing to help do anything, almost anything for them, right? What's the most important thing you need to do for them?
Christ.
Live for Christ. Be an example. Share Him, right? We'll probably say a little bit more about that. And then we have that friendship love. Deep affection between friends characterized by trust and loyalty. And then we mentioned self, also called platonic love, right? Recognizing your worth and prioritizing your well-being. Do you ever think about that? I'm doing certain things because I want to be well. I want to be at a certain stage in my life. I want to portray a certain aura about me. And what aura would that be? Well, if you're a believer, it would be Jesus Christ. You want to exhibit His characteristics. Amen? Now, there's one love I haven't really mentioned. Did you miss it? God's love. God's love. Probably the most important one of all. God's love. And when I say that, that is God with a capital G, right? That is the God of glory, the sovereign creator of all things, the great I am, the am I am that I am, right? That's the God we're talking about, not the small g. There's lots of those out there, but they're not going to really help you in a jam. They're certainly not going to help you with eternity and where you're going to spend that. So we need to trust in the one true God. Our focus will be imitating and displaying God's love. That's what we're going to talk about today. God's love. We'll use this question to help us stay focused. What does it mean to walk in God's love? What does that mean? There's a lot of concepts out there. Even in Christianity, there's a lot of concepts about that out there. And so we must look for the truth. And where will we find the truth? Yes, right here in God's Word. Look there. That is the standard to find God's truth. We can narrow that question a bit more. What does it mean to walk in God's love? Let's ask it this way. What does walking in love look like? What does it look like? Well, you can encapsulate it in that one name, can't you? Jesus. And then you might follow that up with self-examination. How well am I looking like Jesus? According to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and you can turn there if you like. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Walking in love looks like an imitation of God. How do we imitate God? Well, Frank hit the nail right on the head. We look, act like Jesus. We show the love that Jesus would show. Amen? That's where we're going with this message. But there's more to it than that, right? The Holy Spirit's involved. God the Father's involved. They all work together for us. That is their goal. They want each and every one of us to be with them one day where they are. And it won't be sitting on a cloud strumming a gold harp. That's nothing, okay? It'll be far more glorious than that. Far more glorious. But Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, God's Scripture says this. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That would be His dear children. And walk in love. God's love is what we're talking about. As Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. He suffered and died for us. He was an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma, a sweet fragrance. The walk of Ephesians 5:2 refers to our behavior in this world. We're not talking about future when we're there. We're not talking about past when we didn't really trust God and believe in Him and try to please Him. No, we're talking about now when we trust Him and we have that desire to please the Lord. So we're talking about our behavior, how we act. God, through the Apostle Paul, is encouraging us to imitate His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't leap right to the death. Don't go straight to the cross. Take your time and investigate His life. We were doing that this morning in Bible study. Sunday morning Bible study, 9 o'clock. We go through the Scriptures. We've been in the book of Luke for how long, Frank? Months. Months. And we're only at chapter 8. Why is that? Because God is so glorious and Christ is so glorious in things that He has done that we don't want to rush through it. We want to pick it down to the bone, just like when you get that smoked mullet, you know, and you want to get all the good out of it, you just pick it right down to the bone. That's what we're doing. That's what we want to do. That's how you get close to the Lord. Amen? We're talking about how God, through Paul, encourages us to imitate Jesus in our actions, not just talk. Oh, we can talk the talk, can't we? But we need to walk the walk. We need to be down there where the rubber meets the road. That's where we make a difference when it comes to Jesus. Not just for ourselves, but for others, right? We want to encourage others to be born again, to be saved and part of His family. So our interaction with others, both saved and unsaved, is very important. Very important. It's a little bit easier to interact with brothers and sisters than with people out there that don't care. It's a bit easier. But we are all still at different levels of commitment. And so we have to consider that. And we have to be encouraging and loving with one another. Because we don't want anybody to walk away saying, oh man, that church is, they just don't get it for me. They're not loving. They're not encouraging. They don't talk about Jesus enough. Stuff like that, right? So we want to make sure that we're showing the love of Christ. Amen? Amen? And why do we want to do that? So they will move closer to Jesus and hopefully be born again. And the ones that are already born again, like Exhibit A, will even move closer to the Lord and be more committed and walk more fully in the Spirit. That's what we want, a closer walk with Jesus. Seems like there's a song about that, isn't there? Just a closer walk with Thee. All right. I have a musical side to my nature. When we behave like Jesus, we are walking in love. Even when Jesus threw those marketeers out of the temple for selling all that stuff at outrageous prices, even when He did that, He was showing His love. It's like saying, you guys are on the wrong track. You don't have any idea what you're doing. You need to get out of here and think it over again. Come back later when you have a better idea. And by the way, I have some men here that'll guide you with that. Yeah. He still showed His love, even through that tough love discipline, didn't He? Sometimes we don't realize it, but when things are going a little bit harder, God's going to use that for tough love. It's not Him that brings it. He didn't cause that flood out in Texas to wipe out those little girls that were at summer Christian camp. He didn't wipe out all those people to cause sorrow and mourning in their families. He didn't do that. The enemy does those kinds of things because he is opposed to our God in every way he can be. And he uses things like that to get other people to say, how can you worship a God that allows things like that? You will never know how many people are going to get saved out of the sorrow that came through that. Years ago, there was a Christian college up in Georgia, Toccoa Falls Christian College. And it was on the Toccoa River. There was a dam upstream that kept that river from overflowing. They built that during the times of the Roosevelt administration, you know, the Tennessee Valley Authority and all that. They built all those dams to get electricity and control the rivers. Here's God's mercy and love. That college was suffering financial hardship. They were about to close the doors and call it quits. And then that dam broke. It gave way. And all that water in the reservoir behind it came down just like that flood in Texas and wiped out all kinds of people. It wiped out the college, basically. Was God finished with that? No. Word went out all over the world that this little college in Georgia who was trying to promote the Word of God had been wiped out. And funds started coming in from all over the world. Money, people sending letters, checks, donations. They rebuilt the college. And they're still going strong today.
Amen.
They're still going strong. You see, God uses those tragedies and that destruction for His own purpose. Yes, He allowed it. But He used it for His glory, didn't He? And that's the way God works. We can't say those people died because they were doing something wrong or because they didn't care about Jesus. No, those people died because of the enemy of Jesus. What does He come into the world for? To kill, steal, and destroy. That's why He is in the world. He hates God, and He does that to discredit Him. God doesn't let that stand. He uses all of that, redeems all of that tragedy for His glory. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to walk in Jesus and do the same thing. When tragedy comes, when hard times come, we need to be Jesus to people and show the love and show the help. That's what we should do as believers. Amen? Be like Jesus. The Greek word translated as love in the passage there we read in Ephesians is agape. Agape. There are different Greek words for different kinds of love. But this Greek word, agape, means a sacrificial, unselfish, unconditional love that proves itself through action. It's an action love that helps, that restores, that saves, that redeems. Amen? We find that in John 3:16, very familiar verse. You can probably quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved, that's agape love. God so agape loved the world that He gave. There's His action. His action of love was to give His Son. That would be His one and only Son. He gave His Son. Why? For the redemption of humanity. This is the only way we can go and be with God, through His Son. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. Oh man, we should never forget that. No matter what happens in the world, no one gets to the Father except through the Son. Hang on to that. That's good stuff. God's action of sacrificial love was shown to us through Christ, the action of Him going to the cross, which says this, by this we know love. This is 1 John 3:16. God's action was to send His Son. Here's the action of Christ. By this we know love, that He, Christ, laid down His life for us. Each one of you could say, Christ died for me. Oh, I'm happy the rest of the world is included in that, but I'm mostly concerned about me. How about you, right? Sorry, but that's our nature. Just admit it, confess it, and be one with God. Amen? The agape action of love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. There's no other way. But, you know, I have to throw this in, to be honest. There is another eternal life. It's not with Jesus. It's not with God. It's a place called the Lake of Fire. It's for those people that said, God, Jesus, I'll pass. Catch me at a later time. Maybe. Maybe. But there's no guarantee for later time, is there? You don't know. Those young girls in that Christian camp, they went to bed that night. They didn't know they weren't going to see the sun come up the next morning. But they didn't. You see, when people hear the gospel, they need to be encouraged to trust Jesus and make a commitment and ask Him to save them. Amen? When the Bible says God is love in 1 John 4:8, the word love is translated from the Greek word agape, speaking of God's action of love. It's not just the casual I love you. It's the action of sacrificing something, probably something dear to you, in showing your love for Christ. Doesn't have to be a person. Could be anything. But you're going to show that agape love by showing the action of love. God's nature, His essence, demands the action of selfless, sacrificial love toward His creation. That's what He did when He sent His Son to the cross. He said, I'm going to redeem creation. We're part of that. But He's going to redeem the whole thing. It'll be glorious. And if you're born again, you'll get to witness that glory. You'll be part of it. We, that is humanity, bring the action of agape, self-sacrificial love, by our faith in Jesus. That's why we imitate Jesus, because we have faith in Him, in His love, and what He's done. Done for us. Done for others. What He's going to do for others in the future. Our agape love is our self-sacrificial love for God, led by the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't have that love for Jesus or God if the Holy Spirit hadn't been working on you throughout your life and leading you to the point where you would say yes when you heard the gospel. I was about 10 years old. I was in a weekly summer camp over in Central Florida when I heard the gospel. When God cleared up my brain fog and said, this is what you need. And I said, yes. I said, yes. Oh, I didn't understand everything I was saying yes to. Do you understand everything about Jesus and everything about God? Of course not. He's too wonderful for us to understand it all. But we can still make that commitment and we can still walk forward because the Holy Spirit shows us how to do it. He even guides us in doing it. And then He goes beyond that. He empowers us to do it. God in us, empowering us to follow and live for and like Jesus. That's what we're talking about. You have that decision to make. Oh, you're born again. You accepted Christ as your Savior. But have you gone beyond that? Have you committed to His program? Not yours. Well, we all have a program, right? We're all headed somewhere. Is it the same somewhere that the Lord wants you to be heading for? You have to answer that question for yourself. You have to fellowship with Him through the Holy Spirit. You have to determine if you're walking with Him and going the right way. The Apostle John stressed that since God loves us in action, we ought to love others in the same way, with action, not just word. John said, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us." There's His action. He loved us. And He didn't stop there. He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for us, for our sins. He loved us and took care of our sin debt through His Son. That's action love there. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Amen.
We can't die for each other's sin, but we can sure share the gospel, can't we?
Amen.
We can sure encourage people to learn more about Jesus and what He's done for them.
Amen.
We can hand them a Bible and say, God loves you. He wants you to read His Word. That's a love action. That's agape. You're not just saying, oh, God bless you. Hope you find the Lord someday. See you later. Give them the Word. Read this. You might even suggest somewhere they could start in the Bible. I like to tell them, start in 1 John. The letter of 1 John. It's towards the back, you know, back there near Revelation. And then after you've read that and kind of digested it for a while and thought about it, then go to the Gospel of John and read that one and digest that one for a while. See what God says to you. Again, we walk in love by imitating God's agape action, love for us by our action of love to others. If you really love the Lord, you will be sharing His gospel. You will be sharing His love. You will be telling others you really need to find the help of Jesus. You'll do it. Not because it's going to put a notch in your pistol handle. No. It's going to put a notch in His. Right? You're doing it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and that person you're talking with. Jesus taught the same principle when He said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." You know, it takes a lot of courage to say to a friend, "You need Jesus. You need Jesus. I can't hang with you anymore. I can't go the places we used to go. I can't do that anymore because I'm honoring my Lord and Savior. I'm agape loving Him. I'm doing the action He wants me to do. I'm sharing Him with you. And I'm telling you, He wants you to be in His love. And I know you can't understand that yet. But if you will just open the door a little bit to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will get in there and you'll make it. But you've got to open the door a little bit, right? And you encourage them to do that. You don't go to the same old places you used to go with them, but whenever you see them, you question them about how are they coming along with finding out about Jesus. You see, they'll understand that. If you say, "Well, how is your walk with Jesus and the Holy Spirit? What are you talking about?" But if you ask them, "How are you coming along with learning about Jesus and His love for you?" They can understand that kind of stuff. Laying down our life doesn't have to mean physical death. Most times it doesn't mean that at all. Every now and then someone has to lay down their life for Jesus. Missionaries do. Jim Elliot did when he went down to witness to the Indians in South America, the natives down there, the Aka. He showed up, and the first time he showed up, they killed him and everybody in the party. Was that the end of it? No. Others came, kept witnessing, kept giving the story of Jesus. Even his wife got involved in it. And they have a mission there today. Aka Indians are being saved, born again. Because someone had the audacity to go down there and share Jesus, even though they might give their life. We don't go to that extreme, do we? It's extreme enough to say to somebody that you know well, and they know you, and you say to them, have you found out anything about Jesus yet? Have you tried to pray and get a relationship going with Jesus? Takes courage, takes commitment, takes you allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you and give you the courage to say it. Amen? You're not laying down your life physically. You're laying down your spiritual life. I'm laying down me. I'm putting me to the side. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak. And I'm going to serve my Lord. That's what you're doing. The Apostle Paul gives a detailed description of how to walk in agape love. If you want to turn to it, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7. Yes, this is often used in the wedding ceremonies. It's known as the love chapter, I think. Starting at verse 4. I'm going to read down through verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 goes like this. And it's a description of love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives in, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Every circumstance. The greatest virtue we can nurture in our Christian walk is agape love. Self-sacrificial love through the power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Agape love. Loving others more than you love yourself. 1 Corinthians 13:13 goes on to say, so now faith, hope, and love abide. But the greatest of these is agape. That's the Greek word used there. It's agape. In Ephesians, now, I use the word agape due to the various modern definitions of love. Tell me what love is. You're going to get all kinds of definitions. Probably few are going to be this kind of love. I'll lay down my life for Jesus. In Ephesians 5:2, Paul said that Jesus gave Himself for us. He gave himself for us. That's agape love. The action of giving himself for us. Giving ourselves up means offering our lives to God in sacrificial service. You think the Holy Spirit will help you in that? Of course he will. That's what he longs to do. That's why he's here, to help us serve Christ. And what does that mean? That means following, obeying, submitting, and serving in a life committed relationship with Christ. A lifelong commitment. A lifelong commitment of obedience, submission, service to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus said it this way, go and tell. Go and tell. Tell them about me. Live something like me so that they'll really believe you. Because if you're telling something and you don't believe it, you're not going to live it, are you? Live it. Go and do it. When we behave in agape love, our lives become a fragrant offering. A fragrant offering that is pleasing to God and to everyone who encounters the scent. You know where that kind of scent is first spoken of? It's spoken way back in the book of Leviticus, where the priests were sacrificing those animals on the hot burning coals in the temple, on the altar there. And they would burn those sacrificial bulls and lambs in that fragrance. You ever go by where they're cooking meat on barbecue and you smell that fragrance? Now, it's one thing to us. We smell, oh, that's going to be good, right? But to God, it's a different fragrance. It's the fragrance of somebody loves me and there's no sin. There's no sin in that fragrance. It's all given to the Lord. It's all given to God without any hint of sin being in the mix. It's the same aroma of obedient sacrifice which God received from the people in the temple's burnt offerings. That's what I'm talking about, the burnt offerings. Paul urged believers to offer themselves. Offer yourself. Not to death, but to life. A life in Christ, serving Him, telling about Him, giving His gospel, letting others know. That's the kind of sacrifice He wants. A sacrifice holy and pleasing to God. And then Paul completes this statement by adding, this is your true and proper worship. This is your true and proper worship. It's the action of being a living sacrifice. Not dying, but living to give God's message, the message that there is life, love, and hope in Jesus Christ. God's sacrifice for us. This can only be done when one commits their agape love to Christ. That's the only way it works. If you don't commit yourself to Christ in agape love, become that sacrifice, you'll be wishy-washy. Some days you'll do it, some days you won't. You'll be sad when you don't do it, you'll be happy when you do it. It's that up and down life, right? Be committed to the Lord and His agape love. Show it. Show the sacrificial action of love for each other through the Spirit of Christ. Let Him lead you. You know, a lot of people say, you know, it's like this. You're in a car, but you're not driving. You're not driving. Who's driving? Well, they say, well, Jesus is driving. And you're sitting in the passenger seat. But that's not true. It's true that you are not driving. But who is driving? It should be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is driving the car. Where are you? You're in the front passenger seat. He's driving. The Holy Spirit is driving you through life and guiding you where He wants you to go. Well, what about Jesus? Where's He? He's in the back seat. He's got His arm hanging out the window, a nice breeze coming through. You see, His work is done. He's done His job. But He's there for encouragement. He's there because He loves. But we're there because we're sacrificing. Because that car might be taking us somewhere we don't really want to go. But we're going because Jesus has called, the Holy Spirit has called and said, let's go, there's somebody down here that needs to hear about Jesus. And you don't even ask who, you just say, okay, let's go. There's your commitment. There's your agape love. You give up what you want to do to go and do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Amen? When we walk in love action, agape love, imitating Christ's agape love, we show the world that we are true followers of Jesus Christ. That's what they want to see. They don't want to hear it. They want to see it. And that's what we're to do. We're to show Christ through our actions. Jesus told His followers in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35, if you're taking notes, John 13, 35, Jesus said this, by this all will know that you are My disciples. If, what's the if in there for? We are the if. We are the if. If we will show it or not. Takes commitment. Takes faith, takes relationship, takes all those things to get the job done. And Jesus said this, by this all will know that you are My disciples if you have love, agape love, for one another. You won't be like those first two guys that passed the Samaritan on the Jericho road. No, you won't be those guys. They talked Jesus, but they didn't live Jesus. The one who stopped, picked Him up, got Him a room, got Him a doctor, got Him some medicine, that's agape love. That's showing it. John, 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14. How will we know? How will we know if we're on track? 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we agape love the brothers. That means the church. We agape love the church. We're taking care of one another. You're taking care of one another right now because you're encouraging one another by being here and hearing God's Word. So we're loving one another in action by supporting and encouraging one another to be here. Unselfish, unconditional, sacrificial love brings us out of death. Did you ever think of it that way? I mean, you look at that verse and you say, we know we've passed from death into life if we do this. So how do you know that you're in life? You're showing the agape love. You're taking action to help one another and encourage one another. That's how you know. As God's children, members of His family even, we are called. Yes, it's our calling. We are called to deny our own personal desires and interests for the sake of Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We imitate Him. We give ourselves for His sake to others who are looking for Him. Amen? Agape love is real. We should be showing it. Although we are free in Christ, we use our freedom to serve one another in agape love. Self-sacrificial love. For the whole principle can be summed up in this one command. That's what it says in Galatians. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. You've been called to freedom in Christ. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. You weren't called to do whatever you want to do in Christ. You were called to do what Christ wants you to do at the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But through love, agape love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, agape. That's the word. I mean, it gives you a whole sentence, but that's the word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall agape your neighbor as yourself. You shall be the sacrificial love giver so that they will see Christ. That's our mission. Sacrificially, unconditionally, agape love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Everybody I encounter. Everybody. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1:22, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. That's when you were born again. Okay? You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love. That's agape love. Sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Might throw in there, in Christ. Agape love each other deeply with all your heart. Your heart should be Jesus. That's who you're committed to. You committed to Jesus. He saved you. He gave His all for you. He's not asking you to die literally for Him. He's just asking you to serve Him and give the message. The message of His gospel. Do you recall our original question this morning? What is walking in love? What does that mean? Walking in love. It means agape love. Sacrifice in love for others. And yes, that is obedience to Christ. Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mindset He had when He went to the cross. So yes, we should be obedient to the Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
This wholehearted, sacrificial imitation of God's divine love to others is what it means to walk in love. Agape love. I don't know what the Lord's going to ask you to sacrifice. That's between you and Him. But if you're not in this looking for which way you should be going, then you are probably not going to know. You should be in the Scripture looking for that. Holy Spirit, lead me, tell me, show me. confirm to me. Because, you know, when he shows you, you're going to say, really? Is that really it? Don't be afraid. Ask him. Confirm it. And then do it. Agape love. Ryan, would you come, please? So, now is the point of commitment. Are you going to do it? You don't have to tell me. Don't tell me. If you say, I really want to do it, then I'm going to encourage you to do it. I'm not going to say, no, wait a minute. No, I'm going to say yes. Follow the Lord. Follow the Holy Spirit. Do it. Now's that time. And you might make the commitment now. You might say, that is what my heart is telling me to do. That's my heart's desire, to commit myself to what God wants me to do. Lead me, Holy Spirit. You're not going to get, I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, because you could get it. God works different ways. Most likely, you're not going to get a news flash from God that here's what I want you to do. He could do it. But in the next few days, what are you going to be doing to confirm? You're going to be praying. You're going to be reading Scripture. You're going to be singing hymns in your mind, singing songs of the Lord, because you want that confirmation. So this is the invitation. If the Holy Spirit is saying to you, make a commitment, then make it. I'm not sure what I'm committing to. It's okay. Because God is love. Amen. So you don't have to fear it. God is love. Whatever you're committing to, if you're walking with Him, it'll be okay. Because God is love. So we're going to sing. You can come. Someone might come and pray with you. The prayer is, Lord, help them to commit and stick with it.